We have a big mouth-watering announcement to make. Today, we're launching Season 3 of Cooking with Drag Queens with exciting new episodes, recipes, and more of what you love. Gorgeous gals who wear lots of makeup and love to eat. But there's a catch. We're all out of space on the hard drive, the pantry's empty, and the piggy bank's busted. So we need your help to keep the series going.
Joining us today is the very cunning linguist, Foxy Kim, to help us come up with some she-larious sequel subtitles to the culinary web series. What should we call the threequel? All T-bone, no shade, tucks and rolls, or fry harder? If we manage to reach our first stretch goal, we'll film a drag queen cooking competition where two queens battle it out to become the ultimate queen of the kitchen. And they will be harshly and unfairly judged by two celebrity chefs.
Plus, Cher invites the children to live with her who have been threatened with deportation by Trump.
And the World Clown Association says the movie It is hurting real clowns.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Hey, Foxy Kim.
Hi.
I see you have your baseball cap stuck in the cocksucker position.
Well, that's what I was doing before I came here, so it's appropriate.
Really? You had a hookup date right before you came to take the podcast?
I was hanging out with one of my husbands. Yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Hot.
I always like a nice, relaxed guest.
Yes.
So if you can just kind of get off a little bit before you come over.
It was great. I told him I had somewhere to be, and he was very respectful of my time. So
awesome.
I noticed you had that musky smell.
That's because he told me not to shower before. He's into it. I'm not. But
hot. Oh, my goodness.
I like it a little cleaner, but fine for him.
People are always like, just come straight from the gym. And I'm like, people really want that.
They go, I love your musky butt. And I'm like,
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who doesn't wear any deodorant when he goes to the gym. And I'm just like,
yeah,
please.
Just
please.
At least like salt stick it if you don't want the deodorant. Yeah, just something to, yeah.
Guess what? We have a big announcement to make.
What is it?
I'm going to pull out my vivacious fan. Uh-oh. And be like, we are ready to announce that Season 3 of Cooking with Drag Queens has arrived.
Yay!
New exciting episodes, recipes, and more of what you love. Gorgeous gals who wear a lot of makeup, like our magical friend here, Foxy Kim.
Hi. I'm here to ruin your diet.
I'm all full, and I'm still hungry.
I'm definitely full, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so you got some nice glazed donuts there.
Just one
diet
donut.
Harder.
So here's the catch, though, right?
What?
So Season 3 is we have an episode with Cynthia Lee Fontaine available only to people who pledge $1 or more. We want you to donate $3, but you can get in there, cookingwithdragqueens.com right now, and you can watch Cynthia Lee Fontaine take us on a tour of what her amazing life is like, her home in Austin, Texas, really sharing us posters and images and photos of her life as a young little Puerto Rican boy singing in a Christian pop band. And we go with Cynthia Lee Fontaine all the way to the Puerto Rican Pride Parade and with her Boricua people and make some fabulous pastelón, which is a Puerto Rican lasagna, but our version's more like a shepherd's pie with a mashed yuca on top. Now, in order to get people excited, you know, we're putting all these videos that are exclusively available to people who pledge. You don't actually have to pay, because if the Kickstarter fails, you'll still get to see the videos and you don't have to spend a penny. But you go to the Kickstarter, cookingwithdragqueens.com, and you pledge $3, and you can watch Cynthia Lee Fontaine hang out with us and make some amazing food. But we got to get people excited. In order to get excited, we do the same thing that Hollywood films do, right? We make sequels. Oh. Or in this case, it's a she-quel.
You're running that.
And
every time.
And we're trying to come up with like some good, you know, sequel titles. Mm. And I'm hoping that you, Foxy Kim, a cunning linguist, could help us brainstorm some ideas on how to get people excited about Cooking with Drag Queens 3.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, Jaws did 3D because then that was their hook when they made the sequel to Jaws.
Oh, gosh. Oh, God.
Right? So Breakin' was one movie, right?
Breakin'.
Breakin'. There's no stomping. It was the
is that the Electric Boogaloo?
So there was a Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo, and so I came up with a She Electric Booger Loo.
Cooking? No, you don't want that.
Cooking.
How about Too Feast, Too Fabulous? Bacon Forever.
Bacon Forever. Bacon
Forever.
I just have a list of movies here that I'm just trying to force food into.
How about this?
Right, yeah, I was like, I need a. Yeah,
there's a movie. Let's think about movies with food in them, like Chocolat. Right? Or My Dinner with Andre. It could be My Dinner with RuPaul Andre Charles.
Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. How can we? Yeah.
How about Legally Blondies 2, Red, White, and.
Oh, my God. Red, white, and creamed.
Baked. Yeah.
Creamed. How about Star Wars, The Shade Awakens? We actually have a t-shirt that says Drag Wars, The Shade Awakens, but we could steal that for it. Or maybe like Stir Fry.
The next course.
For your life. Or I know how fishy you were last summer. Why you looking all like that in this kitchen?
I still know how fishy you were last summer. Yeah.
Yeah. Cooking with Drag Queens 3, Hot and Steamy. Pots and glams, tucks and rolls.
See, we've had time to think about this. I'm like sitting here and I'm like, I wish I had some.
I kind of like the one that I think this was Amanda Cohen came up with this one is all T-bone, no shave.
I like that.
That's a good one.
Because it's about steak.
Yeah.
You know. But the thing about like, you know, when you think of like movie sequel titles, it's always about a pun. Like the Addams Family was Addams Family Values.
You're right. Which is great.
You know, but like as a linguist, like, you know, the words cooking and drag queens, what do they evoke in you? Like,
well, I mean, cooking, unfortunately, evokes a lot of drug references, too.
Like cooking crack rock.
Yeah. Cooking also... So cooking, you know, half baked, like you don't let your cook your makeup. So stuff like that.
Well, we did a cooking with drag queens with a Lady Bunny. I wanted Foster. I said, let's cook a crack rock. And he's just like, no, we have to keep it family friendly.
We can't do that.
I was just like, oh, come on.
She puts hers away slowly.
We had one as like, we said, if you say Sharon Needles' name into a cocaine mirror 3 times, she shows up.
She magically appears.
And snorts all your cocaine.
Yeah, I was going to say, and she
and then disappears.
Bye.
Or Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. Well, what about like a Die Harder? We could do like Fry Harder.
Fry Harder or like Set Harder. Blend Harder.
Ooh. Yeah.
Blend like your food, your smoothie.
What do you think, Mark? Fry Harder? Is that
Fry
good
Harder? One? That's
fry
a good
Harder
one.
Is cute. Yeah.
Is that
we'll
a
make
one?
Some donuts for that one.
Yeah.
Fry so, Harder. Guys, we want to know from you. We're going to go with Fry Harder for now.
Okay.
And we want to weigh in from you guys. What should be the subtitle? Go to Cooking with Drag Queens on Facebook. Or on our Instagram, Feast of Fun, or just
comment
even post
the
a
show,
comment.
Yeah.
Comment on the show or go to cookingwithdragqueens.com and pledge some money and make a comment and say, you know, I like all T-bone, no shade better.
it is cute.
I'm really on the fence about Fry Harder and all T-bone, no shade.
I think they're both really good.
Yeah. So, you know, really, Cooking with Drag Queens, we're trying to take it into a new direction in the season 3. We're getting a little bit sillier. We're getting a little bit more ridiculous. And we had some technical problems.
Oh?
The microphone that we were using for you broke.
What?
And so we had to dub in the sound for your video.
Yeah, because you were working a gig, so you didn't, you know, we had to get it out.
Right,
so we're just
I
like,
think
let's
I had
just,
to go somewhere
let's
right
just
after.
Let's just dub it.
So instead of using your gorgeous voice, we decided to go for more of a Auntie Star Booty voice from the movie Star Booty.
Oh, okay. I mean, I have seen Star Booty.
Did you know why that actress, she actually had the weird voice?
No, why?
So they filmed Star Booty with RuPaul, right? And Mike Reiss, they couldn't find... So they asked all the actors to come back into the sound studio to overdub their voices.
Right.
And the woman who played RuPaul's niece, she I don't remember her name, but she disappeared. They couldn't find her anywhere.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, after they filmed it.
That's
so
freaky.
So she had this DJ, and he just kind of like jokingly put in the voice, you know, this voice like, Auntie Starbuni, what are you guys doing? Yeah. Stop, RuPaul, help me, please, you know? And they just, at the end, that was the rough cut, and they were just like, this is so funny, we gotta
Just keep it. Because at first you're watching the movie, you're like, this seems really weird.
Yeah, I remember it being kind of weird.
And now we understand what the backstory is behind it. There was so much dick in that movie, too. You forget how much dick.
That, like, dominatrix scene with all the dick and the heels, and I was like, whoa, this is...
It's pornographic.
It was on Netflix. Casually on Netflix.
It was on Netflix for, like, a hot minute. Then now it's kind of like George Lucas and the Star Wars Holiday Special. It's the movie RuPaul doesn't want you to see.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know.
I think she'd still be happy if you bought a DVD of
it. She references it in Peanut Butter. She might name Cupcake. She references Star Booty.
But there's no way to see it unless you have to buy the DVD. Like, you can't watch it on, like, somebody's put up a illegal copy on YouTube. I mean, yeah, you could torrent it,
but RuPaul is notorious for putting fake torrents out.
Oh, she herself does.
Yes, herself for her album. The one that was like, pay them bitches, no mind for Sissy That Walk. And when it gets to that, if they're paying your bills, and then it cuts to her going, why would you torrent my album, buy it, I have to pay bills. And so she purposely seeded a fake torrent.
That's the one I would do a drag number to. Mm-hmm.
Right, it's actually kind of funny and actually works as a, like,
it just comes to a screeching halt.
Right, it comes to a screeching halt, and it's RuPaul.
Because let's be honest, most drag queens rip off their music, right?
I mean, FLV2MP3.com if you want any song.
Don't be throwing no shade. I just want to get paid on T-Star Booty.
Yeah. So it's easy to do. Mm-hmm. And so she found a workaround to actually.
Well, because Madonna did that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's like, what do you think you're doing?
What the fuck do you think you're doing?
Yeah.
And I'm sure people probably put that into a
song.
But
it's funny, right? But it's like, it's funny. Oh, yeah. And it's sort of not doing. It's a lot easier to get songs than people think. And
I'm surprised that Lucian Piani, who made his fame doing remixes of. Was it Christian Bale losing his shit on set of Batman and Barbara Streisand losing her shit someplace else? Yeah. Like, he did like disco remixes of that, right?
And then he went and lost his own
He had a severe public mental breakdown.
And I'm wondering if some DJ somewhere wouldn't, like, you know, or maybe Barbara Streisand or Christian Bale might want to get even and make their own remixes of his.
I mean, his losing his shit. He writes his. He basically wrote his own.
So I don't know.
What do you think you're doing here? I'm trying to act. No. You know, it's like in the background. I mean, people were lip syncing that.
I mean, people do it all the time. So.
We've actually gotten word that some queens from Cooking with Drag Queens are doing quite well for themselves, and you might be seeing them on other projects in the near future.
On television shows, maybe.
On television shows,
That's so wonderful. I'm so glad.
I really love Martha Stewart Living, so I'm very excited.
They're going to be on Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg's potluck dinner party.
I would love to see someone from any drag queen on that show. That would be amazing.
What's really wild is that show actually looks like Cooking with Drag Queens if we had like $1 million budget.
Right. I mean, Martha Stewart is... doing very well for herself after prison.
And I have no doubt that, I mean, considering there's about 10 YouTube series that are direct ripoffs of Cooking with Drag Queens, that Martha Stewart or some producer somewhere saw what we were doing and they were like, you know, this is a lot of fun. Let's take it in this direction. Because literally, it's a little bit of them, like, cooking, and then they go into this, like, documentary aspect of it, and they have an audience, and most of the people on the show don't know how to cook, and there's a lot of tension, you know, with Martha kind of OCDing.
Apparently, she's very mean. Yeah, I've heard rumors that she's very mean to her staff.
She yells at them.
Yeah, I've heard this.
But, you know, there's a lot of her time is valuable, and there's a lot of money riding on all this, and if you don't get it right, she's going to let you know.
Right. And it's food. There's not
because it's like literally it's millions of dollars.
Right,
But isn't that like something common? A lot of entertainers that are very popular with LGBT people tend to have reputations of being jerks.
Yeah, or just like very Madonna. High demanding. Madonna. Yeah.
Cyndi Lauper. I mean, there's all these stories of her just like, if you can't give me some drugs, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Why are you imitating me? That's very rude.
You know, and RuPaul gets that reputation. Oh, Barbara Streisand. I mean, everybody, you know, and maybe it's like, as a community, we're sort of attracted to these like strong personalities.
Well, and you build them up. You put them on this pedestal, right? Yeah. And so then they think they can do. I mean, this is, you know, Eminem Gate all over again.
Like, who's the nicest celebrity you can think? Like, if you think of a nice celebrity, like a
how would you even know?
I've heard Rihanna's real cool.
She's like chill.
Yeah, she's like, if you see the like Rihanna photo, like meet and greet versus like the Avril Lavigne one, there's this like side by side, and Rihanna's like taking pictures and putting their hats on of her friends and like the fans and taking, you know, hugging and getting close, and like, and then Avril's like meet and greet, shake hands, kind of
stay a foot away from me.
Stay a foot away from me.
Well, a lot of like, drag queens and entertainers don't know how to hug their fans without hugging them.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this last time, with the whole...
You have to do the Oprah hug, with you clasp the hands in front of them.
Did you see...
And shake them as though you're having a very empowering moment.
The shade that Tyra Sanchez threw at Sasha Velour, and then at Raja. So Tyra is having
What's going on with her?
For people who are not familiar with these queens, explain who they are, too.
So, okay, so Tyra Sanchez won season two of Drag Race. Sasha Velour just won the most recent season, so season nine. And Raja won season three.
Tyra crowned Raja.
So let's first talk about, there was a video of Jujubee, who was on season two with Raja. Someone was interviewing them about what they thought of the most recent season of Drag Queens. And Valentina's come up and they're like, oh, she's beautiful, blah, blah, blah. And they talk about her champagne and M&M's scandal, whatever. They get to Sasha Velour and Tyra Sanchez goes, I don't know who that is. Who is that? Like, sincerely did not know. But Tyra...
Well, she hasn't been watching the series.
Right, she hasn't been, but she used to only follow... What's interesting, she used to only exclusively follow the winners of Drag Race. And that was it.
And well, maybe just something happened this year that she just said, I'm cutting off.
Right. Well, I think it's because she's fighting right now very publicly with Raja on Facebook. Very publicly fighting and going, I wasn't talking about you with, like... Old, you know, talking about
old queens,
talking about Raja's older and old and tired, and your one woman show, and blah 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 blah.
It was really boring.
Yeah, they're in the same show, they're in this dance versus look queen show.
Oh.
And so Tyra's on the dance side, Raja's on the look side. So that's
so they're trying to escalate this war to kind of get.
I think it's, and I also think, you know, people are like, why is Tyra being like this? Well, you know, if you for the past 7 years have been told you don't deserve what you got, what you won. It would probably take a toll on you, too. And I'm not one to, like, necessarily stick up for Tyra all the time. But I think that's what's going on, definitely.
Well, it also might be like, hey, you know, I'm not as famous as these other girls. Let me start a little controversy.
I think it might be both.
And Tyra's having another baby.
She had another?
She remembers she was the dad when she was on Drag Race.
That I remember,
She's got number two coming along the way.
I think she's just lip-syncing that Ace of Base, all that she wants is another baby song.
I don't know. I read it somewhere.
All that she wants is another baby. She's got to have a girl.
Oh, yeah. Ace of Base have been called neo-Nazis. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah. That was, that's I'm the one news.
Spreading the...
Is that you spreading that rumor?
Well, it's not a rumor. It's a, the guy who founded Ace of Base, the skinny one, because there's two. There's a big guy and there's a little skinny guy. The little skinny guy was involved with like neo-Nazis,
right? And you're like, oh,
and some people say that like all that she wants is another baby is about a welfare queen, a Jewish welfare queen who's taxing the system. And in the music video, they show this woman who has a Star of David rosary kind of necklace, and you know she's dressing up sexy to trap a man so she can have another baby. And then the song, I saw the signs, and I opened up my mind, is about seeing a swastika and changing your mind.
I perform that song all the time as Professor Trelawney.
Oh, really?
I have to, because I saw the sign, right?
She's psychic. Listen, it's just a song, and most people don't know that it's, you know, it's a racist song.
But I didn't know. I
mean, consider the guy this. Has since disavowed.
Okay, well, that's that. Good.
Yeah, consider it this way. Maybe, since the guy in real life used to be a neo-Nazi, which a lot of people, young people, make mistakes,
I mean, and, that's a big one, though.
And disavowing yourself of it and spending the rest of your life, you know, making amends for that is a good way to do that. And maybe that song is sending a subconscious message saying, you know, I was a loser. I was an asshole. I was a fuck up. And I saw the sign and I opened up my mind, you know, and I.
Okay. I like that interpretation.
The ankh is in the music video is a symbol. You know, it's a pagan symbol. It's a Christian symbol. It's a symbol of her love and peace and prosperity and gender ambiguity because Prince, that's the way he saw it.
Right.
It's a combination of the male and female.
Right. Okay. I like that better. That makes me feel a little better. But
so maybe, like, you know, we don't really know because sometimes, you know, these musicians work on a very intuitive level and we don't really know what they're saying.
Yeah.
But I'd like to think that, you know, he's in a better place and he's working to make the world better.
Yes. I would hope that's what he's doing too.
He's not, you know, crying on YouTube saying that the police are being unfair.
Right. And to neo-Nazis, yeah.
That guy's in jail now.
Oh, he is?
The crying Nazi. And he's really mad that people are calling him in jail the crying Nazi.
Because he's not a bad guy, is what he's trying to say.
Like, you're mad that he's upset that he's getting name called when his entire platform is, like, calling other people's names and, like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. That's how it works with these people.
Yeah, bite me.
But, so they think they're better than everybody else.
Back to fighting drag queens. Okay. Yeah. Right? So Trinity Taylor, who goes on, and really she's the, in my opinion, the most underrated queen of all of RuPaul's Drag Race. Her Twitter account is hilarious. And let me just give you some of the... She makes Bianca Del Rio like an amateur. And she reads Bianca Del Rio to filth. Okay, so this is Kim Chi wrote on Twitter, when you give fresh, brand new pastries to the person begging for money outside of Chipotle, and he just throws them away. Tears, tears, tears. Mm-hmm. And Trinity responds, girl, I wouldn't take your nasty, weird food either.
Yeah, I mean, she's not wrong.
Manila Luzon, to promote her single Ice Cream, she wrote, it's so hot in L.A., who wants to get ice cream with me? And Trinity responds, sis, that's desperate. Begging for ice cream dates on social media, thirsty. Bianca Del Rio, Beauty and the Beast, my new comedy tour. With Alyssa Edwards, and Trinity responded, who's the beauty? I'm still wondering. Shangela says, how about we all go jump on Instagram in 30 minutes and go live and kiki while I get ready for tonight? And Trinity responds, ain't nobody wants to watch you paint that face again.
Yeah.
Who was she saying that to?
To Shangela.
I mean, Shangela deserves it. So.
And Bob the Drag Queen, he dressed up as Deadpool. So he got scarification on his face, really fierce. And says, when you have to get vengeance at 9, but you have to sissy that walk at 10. And then Trinity Taylor responds, your makeup has improved so much from your season.
I mean, anyone. I don't know.
And then Aja wrote to Trinity Tuck, I miss your face. Hopefully it's fixed next time I see it.
Ooh.
And Trinity responded, maybe I'll go to your doctor. Oh, wait, your filter just moved. Never mind.
That's
weird. Aww. Trinity Tuck Taylor, she's my... People ask me who's their dream guest besides you, of course.
That's okay. I know who I am.
You know, Trinity Tuck is hilarious, and she's kind of... She combines a lot of things I love about Bianca Del Rio and Nicole Bridge Brooks into one unstoppable, lean, plastic surgery-ized machine.
Nice.
And she has a nice booty.
That she does. I give her that. Yeah, I give her for that.
And so with the other queens that you were talking about, how did that resolve with season two?
Tyra versus Raja. It's still going. The fight as of last night was still going.
Okay. So
yeah, it's kind of it's fresh.
It's fresh. Yeah, it's very fresh. It's very like, you know, she's saying walking cane and old. And Tyra's criticizing Raja.
And how old is Raja right now? Raja's probably like 43, 44.
Yeah, Raja's very like... healthy spry. And spry. Like, I've hung out with her. She's great.
She doesn't need a walker or a cane yet.
It's like, not yet. I mean,
you know,
getting there, but no, she's fine. And so I think this is obviously insecurity, right? Mm. On Tyra's part. Again, if you're being told for 7 years, you're a piece of shit, you shouldn't have won. Mm-hmm. That definitely takes a toll on your self-esteem. But at the same time, while this new show is coming up, Looks versus Dancers, right? And they're both in it, and they're both on opposite sides.
So play with that, controversy.
Yeah, play with the controversy, I guess. You know.
Well, do you think like drag queens intentionally kind of fight with each other a little bit too much on social media in order to get people talking?
Just look at Chicago social media drag. 100%.
I had to unfollow some of it because I'm just like, this is a worthless argument over nothing. Incendiary and just meant to be trolling.
I like to call them unproductive conversations. Where I go, how do you even, like, the people fighting right now need to stop. It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, it draws publicity and attention and does it get people to come see the shows?
I think it does to a certain extent, right? But,
well, you
be
know,
careful. I don't know.
All roads lead to Mecca, so to speak.
Your face and your name are very tied into your reputation. Mm-hmm. So if you
but you're concerned there's shows. Something negative about it, like there's it's going to hurt
it,
your
I think
community.
It eventually will, and it hurts, it divides us, right? And it also just at the end of the day says something about you if you're willing to be that publicly mean. I try to keep anything I post. Not I had one the other day, I had a really mean post and I took it down, and a couple of people say, why did you take it down? You were in the right. And I was like, just not my style. Yeah.
Right.
So
just because you're right doesn't mean you need to push people off a cliff, proving it.
Well, it's like, it also too is you're taking partake in this call out culture, and it's just like everybody's just like, look at me, I'm pointing at you doing this terrible thing, and look how much better I am. And it's like, do you really want to be that person?
Right. And I looked at that and I go, do I want to be associated with this? No. Like, so someone was calling me and some other people out for giving a very like amateur performance at a club, me and like four other performers, and it was very mean. And I kind of was like, it was a year ago, and like my time hop showed. Like,
oh, really?
From this, and I was like, by the way, it's a year later, and I'm doing real well.
Superheroes Revolution,
yeah,
is that
and
it
I'm doing real well for myself. So fuck you. And then a bunch of people were like, yes, and I'm like, no, this is stupid. I'm no better than this person, right? I am no better than this person if I call them out.
And everybody's a critic. And you listen, there was thousands of people there, and like you know, a couple people said you guys really sucked. You know. Yeah. And is their opinion valid?
Does it matter? I can't hear you.
When I first met you, you were doing Jerry Ryan realness, dressed up as Seven of Nine in a Star Trek drag inspired show. And since then, you've always kind of had this reputation for being the Seven of Nine drag queen.
Yeah, because so that fun fact, the 20th anniversary of that episode series just aired.
Jerry Ryan just tweeted about
when,
it too.
When Seven of Nine premiered in Star Trek Voyager. She's a big inspiration for me. She's a big reason I got into this stuff. And
Jerry Ryan saved America.
Yeah.
She saved Voyager.
Yeah, because she made the Voyager series wonderful.
Because that cast was really dragging it down. Yeah. But you know, I guess Kate Mulgrew had a problem with Jerry Ryan when she first came on, because they brought her on as a sex symbol, as a way to elevate the sexiness of the show. And Kate was just like, you know, I thought we were telling stories here. I thought it was going to be about adventure, and then you were trying to just make it about the sexy thing. But you know, Jerry Ryan and that character filled in that same kind of void that like Data and Spock did, where it's like this person searching for the humanity, and that's what the show's really show's really about. But we say she saved America because she was married to this really hot banker. What was it, Jack Ryan? Jack Ryan, and he was running for senator here in Illinois against Barack Obama. And he was like, he was handsome, he was charming, he was smart, and and he was white. And so he was probably going to win. And then Jerry Ryan, they've discovered like their divorce proceedings, that he would drag her to these sex clubs in Amsterdam and force her to watch these sex acts.
I will not comply.
You will adapt. You will adapt.
And so that absolutely.
Oh my God.
Now, this was the 90s? Or was this, the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And so this really tanked his career. Now, if that happened today, as we've seen with now that we have Trump, it wouldn't have mattered.
Right, but maybe it would have. I hope it would.
And so then Barack Obama, because he did win that senatorship, he became like very famous, and then he became president of the United States, kids, and that's how Star Trek saved America.
And Mark and Fausto were able to get legally married because of Barack Obama, well, not because of Barack Obama, but certainly because the political pressure and because of the Windsor lawsuit, and certainly they were like, okay, let's just do this.
Yeah.
And it happened, and here we are. Mark and I, we actually, you and I have been married for how long?
Like 3 years, I think.
Isn't that crazy how time flies?
Aww. But I mean, we've been together since like 99, so it's like, it's nuts. Goodness.
And that's one of the first things we did originally in the first Cooking with Drag Queen series, is Mark and I just decided to get married, and we did it in front of cameras, and we wore these cute little costumes, and you can watch it on our YouTube channel, us getting married over and over again. Those videos still get views.
Oh, yeah. That's
which great. Is a weird, like...
Why wouldn't they?
YouTube is kind of this strange time dilation. Or what is it when you live, like the Groundhog Day?
It's always there.
Yeah.
It's reliving and cycling on itself. And so things that happened to you, 10 years ago, if you put them up on social media or YouTube especially, there's a way that like sometimes they get a second or third life.
Yeah.
And people like every now and then they just like, oh my God, you just got married. I was like, what?
What? No.
To who? I was like, I'm still married,
Oops.
And so the thing about it is like with Cooking with Drag Queens and YouTube, we were funding part of the series with ads. Ad revenue from the channel, but in the past couple of months they've changed the way they allow the videos to be monetized, and so anything that's sort of like even edgy or controversial, the word LGBT. Drag queen, LGBT drag queen, It's getting its ad revenue decimated.
Mm-hmm. So some stories of some video bloggers that went from like making like $30,000 a month down to like just hundreds of dollars a month. And we never made thousands of dollars a month.
But still,
you know.
But it was getting to the point like that we could cover the cost. So my goal was to not return and do another Kickstarter. And so at this point, though, you know, we're like at 1/20th of what the revenue was coming in. And so as a consequence, we do need to do a Kickstarter and continue the series. And if the Kickstarter doesn't happen, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I know that the people who listen to the show every day, who believe in the podcast, who believe in Cooking with Drag Queens, and really believe in the way we portray drag queens in the series, believe it's something worth happening. It's something that needs to continue. And Cynthia Lee Fontaine, you know, I feel like we fell in love with her in her first season on RuPaul's Drag Race. And the second season that she came on, it was, you know,
it's a little rocky.
It was rocky. And people are like, they were getting sick and tired of her. So go see this right now. I feel in a lot of ways it's a redemption for Cynthia Lee Fontaine. Even if you're a fan of hers, this reminds you why you're a fan. And she's just such a charming and sweet and delicious person that it just puts a smile on your face to watch it.
Yeah, she was always great to me. So
let's talk about Jasmine. Miss Continental was this past weekend. So the Plus happens over Easter weekend, and then the regular Miss Continental for the women under the age of 40. It happens over Labor because they have Continental Elite, which is women over the age of 40. And so
you mean I'm elite?
You're elite. Baby.
I'm an elitist.
Yes, yeah, so you're an elitist. And so congratulations to the winner, Chantel DeMarco, who looked stunning in all her outfits, and she is the new reigning Miss Continental. But surprise, surprise. Jasmine Masters from RuPaul's Drag Race, she showed up in Continental.
Absolutely floored.
And then she actually wore for the ballroom gown. Yeah. She wore the same gown she wore when she got eliminated from RuPaul's Drag Race.
The hair challenge, right?
Yeah.
She wore the bearded queen challenge. She wore that gown. And then when.
Without the beard.
Yeah. Without the beard. When Tara Hyman posted that, a New York queen posted that photo, I was gagged.
Yeah, and it was absolutely like, gagged. What do you feel like, what do you think her motivation is? Because like these drag queens, especially when you're doing Continental, like, you wear a dress nobody's ever seen.
I'm sorry, but like people are trying to defend it and go, oh, she can wear that again. What do you care? Blah, blah. No, she can't.
For
something like this. This is it's a competition. Mm-hmm. You are supposed to wow me. It should be something I have never seen before. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of it. Don't compete. No one's forcing her to.
And that's, you know, that's a dress you wear again, like to do a gig or do a show.
Wear that at a benefit. Wear that literally somewhere where you're getting paid and it doesn't matter, right? But if all eyes are on you and you are being judged for what you are wearing, and the category is evening gown, and you wear an evening gown that everyone saw on national television that you got eliminated in, come on. That's indefensible.
Well, I mean, what is her thinking?
Is
she saying anything on Twitter about it?
I'm looking here. Are you prodding?
This is Jasmine Masters, and I've got something to say about Continental.
Like, she's hiding about it.
Well, you know, in Continental, for some people that don't know, it's like, it's a huge, huge pageant. It's like the mother of all drag pageants.
It's the mother of all drag pageants. Nisha Lopez won it, and then back out her on Drag Race, right? So it's like, it is.
That Nisha, she wasn't fulfilling some of her duties. This is the gossip that came down. And I asked her about it. She didn't have a response.
Oh, no comment.
She had no comment. Is that she went, so Jim Flint called her into the office. And she actually Jim Flint's the guy who, he's the owner of the Baton. And he's the one who runs the pageant. Called her into the office and said, and she walked in with a crown. She put it down on the desk. Here, you want it back? Take it. He's like, well, Nisha, have a seat. And he's like, I want to tell you about the only other person that's ever given the crown back and gave up on the crown and what they're doing now. And he mentioned some name, and I guess she ended up, you know, becoming, you know, selling herself for sex to buy crack. You know, call them crack whores. What do we call them now?
What do we call who? Crack whores?
Yes.
Chemically enhanced queens.
Okay. Basically Chicago drag, though, so that's not very fair.
And so, you know, he was like, and this person has had a very, very difficult life. And she's like, is that what you want with your life? And she's, I guess, is like, no. He's like, take back the crown and do your fucking job. So I asked her about that. And she's just like, no comment.
Well, I really love her, and I hope that she took that advice to heart and that she does well for herself.
Yeah. Let me tell you, every time I see Nisha Lopez out and about, She has a hot man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's come to my house for after parties, and we've had a lot of fun, and she brings all of her gentlemen. Not like that kind of, but
bitch,
like,
invite me.
A little kai-kai, eh?
This is at 5 a.m. on a Sunday. Are you awake, baby?
Not, he's not awake. This is not wake my husband up at 5 o'clock in the morning. If I hear him sneaking out of the house, I will come and get
come
you.
Come on over. Come to after hours at my place. We'll do fun things in the bathroom.
But yes, you can girl. Text me, though. I'll be awake.
Oh, yeah. Mark him, but I can't.
It's fun.
Well, DragCon is happening in New York City at the Javits Center this weekend, the 9th and 10th. Mark and I are going to be around there hanging out and bugging Vivacious in her booth. Mm-hmm. She's like, I will not have any time to hang out with you, and Mark and Fausto are going to be with my fans.
Well, okay. Well, we're exactly fans too.
I'm like, I count. Uh-huh. But see, you cross from fan to friend.
Oh.
So now she can, you know, say, I'm busy for you because I got to get my cointadas. She's going to be selling. And every time I talk to Vivacious on the phone, she's busy sewing up a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. I don't know what she's doing, but she's making all these Ornacea heads with those glowing eyes.
Oh, that's kind of awesome.
And she's going to have this booth with all those Ornaceas sitting there just scaring people.
My friend owns the domain to Ornacea.com, and he'll occasionally update it. It's great. Check it out.
What?
He doesn't put a ton on there, but he owns it. Yeah. He owns Ornacea.com.
Oh my God, don't say that. Or Vivacious is cute. It's a dedication.
Yeah, it's dedicated. It's dedicated to Vivacious and Ornacea. Yeah. It is dedicated to her.
Oh my God, it's the cutest thing in the world.
It is a very like pro Ornacea, pro Vivacious.
So she has Ornacea Duke. So instead of Ornacea, it's Baba Duke's face.
Yeah. It's very cute.
And then there's the cats dressed up as Ornacea. It's as great. Vivacious with Ornacea.
Well, go pick me up.
There's only four images on this thing.
Yeah, I'll tell him to update it.
Girl, put some more content. So we're going to be in New York City. Yeah. We're going to be with our video cameras. We want people to come approach us and tell us, what do you guys think about Cooking with Drag Queens?
Yeah.
And tell us what you think about Feast of Fun.
That's great.
If you don't like it, approach us anyways and tell us to our face. Okay. I love negative criticism. I mean, as long as you're able there to have a conversation with me, I am receptive about it.
That's true.
If you're a fan, bring a $50 bill, honey, and stick it in my pocket.
Do you have a Venmo set up for donations?
I sure do, honey.
Okay, that's good.
Yes, mother.
Kickstarter, yeah.
I'm even bringing a fan in case Vivacious fan breaks. I was with her at a show last time I was in New York City around this time last year for the YouTube Creators Conference. And her Vivacious was performing, you know, and she does like,
right,
to the beat, right? I can't even do it. It's like, brah. And it broke because one of her drunk fans grabbed the thing and broke it.
Oh, man.
And everybody in the room was like, oh, shit.
Was there not like a circuit boy with one who just could give it?
No, it was a small little club, the Hogshead Tavern.
No.
And so this guy was just like, Vivacious was like, you better watch your back. She was mad. And people, like, it was, you know, awkward silence.
Yeah, don't break somebody's fan.
Don't break someone's fan. Yeah.
Don't be grabbing shit off of a drag queen while she's performing. Mm-hmm. You know, but it was like, it was so close and intimate.
But I also want to know, in like New York this weekend on Saturday and Sunday, what's happening at night or even Friday night. I want to know. Hit me up.
There's a lot.
Some parties, whatever. If you can get me on a list anywhere, please let me know.
Because we don't have any tickets to the big parties on Saturday night. No. So.
I'm thinking about hitting up Queen in Brooklyn. They're having that. But get me on the list, girls.
Well, some of the listeners want to hang out and kiki with us. So if you guys have any ideas, please message us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be there, honey. The International Clown Association, which is a non-denominational organization. And I say that because many clowns, professional clowns, not Bianca Del Rio. I'm talking about,
I'm like, is this a
birthday party, balloon things, like Giggle Blossom on YouTube is a Christian clown. You can search Giggle Blossom on YouTube. And there a lot of them are Christians. They're wholesome people who, for some reason, like clowns, actual clowns, a lot of them are like, Jesus wanted me to be a clown.
They have a calling. If that's their belief and if that makes them a happier person, then they're bringing joy.
And so I had a friend who was working on a documentary about Christian clowns, and it never got made. But I saw some of the footage. It was hilarious. And the movie It is hitting theaters, the remake.
I'm so excited.
And of course, the International World Clown Association is mad about it. Because they're like, Stephen King.
He did make clowns scary.
And that was Curry, right?
Yes, Tim Curry, as you know, Tim Curry is one of my biggest like idols. I've idolized him since I was a little kid. With
Rocky Horror, sweet transvestite.
Yeah, Rocky Horror, and I started doing that when I was 16. Clue, he's Butler in Clue. He was the voice of Hexus in Ferngully. He was the voice of Nigel Thornberry in The Wild Thornberries.
Anything Can Happen on Halloween.
He was in Spamalot, Satan in Legend, with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he was in Spamalot. So he's just, I mean, I just absolutely love him. And he was It, right, in the original, the made-for-TV movie that not a lot of people realize. It went straight to TV.
If you ever watched it, you know why.
It's terrible. And the original It is just so bad. Stephen King hated it. But the new one, they're breaking it into two movies. I'm so excited.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so if this isn't really a spoiler, but, like, It, for the movie It takes place first as the affecting the children and then affecting them as adults.
Oh, okay.
And so they're splitting it there. And I think that's actually a very smart move.
Cause I think, in the original book too, is like this is what I don't
What's
get.
What's the premise of the film?
The premise is that there's this clown that's haunting these kids and a kid disappears as a child. Right. Yes. There's also in the book, I guess, but it's not in the movie. There's a gay bashing and some kid gets like a young teenage boy who's holding hands with another guy. Mm. And one of them gets murdered and nobody cares in the town because he was queer.
Right.
Right. But that didn't make it into the made-for-TV movie.
Right.
So these kids, I think one of the kids disappears as a child.
He gets lured in by it. Yeah, so it seems to have like limited power and can needs to like lure you in.
Yeah, so it's kind of like he
can't like just
and he appears
you.
As this clown. He's not, I don't know, he's, spoiler alert, he's not really he's a clown, not really but he appears as a clown.
Yeah.
And the catchphrase is like they all float. Or you're
you can float too.
You can float too.
Oh, it's really weird. Goosebumps. It's so good. Oh, I'm so, it's supposed to be terrifying.
And the weird thing about it though too is like in this movie, you know, it stars like John Boy, you know, all grown up, and he's one of the
from
guys
the Waltons.
From the Waltons, and then Annette O'Toole, who went on to play like Clark Kent's mom in Smallville, and she's been in a bunch of other stuff too.
Is she Peter O'Toole's daughter?
I don't think so. No.
Oh, okay.
And she plays this girl, and for whatever reason, I'm not quite sure, they're all in love with her, and I think she like bangs most of them, in the book, and then
haven't read the.
There's some kind of weird sexual relationship going on there, and I just don't quite get it. No. Now, the made-for-TV movie's not that good.
It's terrible. And as much as I hate to say it, I'm sorry, Tim Curry, but like it just...
Right.
It's not
and
good.
So, you know, a lot of people are just like, oh, no, why are they remaking this classic?
Because
the classic?
It needed to be terrifying, right? It needed to be it is truly terrifying.
So Tim Curry played Giggle Blossom, the clown,
Pennywise.
In the the made-for-TV movie, and now it's Alexander Skarsgård.
His brother is now Pennywise.
Alexander Skarsgård's brother?
The guy who was in...
I don't know who his brother
Hemlock
is.
Hemlock Grove?
I don't know who his brother is, but it's his brother, I believe. I believe it's not Alexander Skarsgård. It's his brother who is Pennywise, and...
It's Bill Skarsgård.
Yes,
that's why I got confused.
Yes,
I was like,
he is Pennywise, and it's just.
But
it
he's handsome
scary.
And hot. And like,
he's handsome in real life
and dangerous.
He looks terrifying in the movie, and that's he. They made Tim Curry's It look like Bozo, right? And it's not scary, but Pennywise needs to be what you associate with scary clowns.
Oh, so this is the guy. He was in Hemlock Grove.
Okay, I don't. Right. Yeah, I don't really know him.
Yeah,
that
he's super cute. So. And it was a weird thing about the Hemlock Grove was a Netflix series, and he was supposed to take place outside of Pittsburgh, but for whatever reason, he had this weird European accent. Well, it'll be fine, and we should also touch on this tomorrow with our next guest that's coming up, because he actually just recently did this in cosplay.
You mean Kevi. She?
She did.
Kevi Vida.
Yeah. Oh, does she identify? Oh, she does. She. That's right. I've just
Girls, don't be misgendering her, guys.
She's been doing Clown Week. And her Pennywise was
She's
real
a
good.
Sick and twisted queen. And we will save the reason why she's sick and twisted for the next episode. But you're going to really enjoy her. And she has a music video out. And she's, she's maybe one of the filthiest person alive.
Okay.
if I can, you I know, if can. For people who know what that means.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
So it's really, I'm really excited to talk to her.
Cher's at it again with her tweets. Well, we saw like Donald Trump has rescinded DACA, right? And Jeff Sessions spoke about it. It was like, you know, it was unconstitutional for Obama to do this because the legislature didn't want any of this. And so we're rolling it back like in 6 months.
And DACA basically just really quickly, it's kids that were brought by their parents
here, or were born
in the United States, but aren't legal citizens.
Right.
It's basically a way of saying, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Go to school, get a job, become an American citizen because we got your back.
Because it's right. And it seems just like the fairest.
It's a fair thing to do. Right. It's the right thing to do.
Like, these kids, this is the only world they've ever known.
You're going to send them to a country that they don't know, and many of them
a language they don't speak.
As someone who does my dissertation is on Spanish heritage speaker people who grew up in Spanish speaking homes, right? Like they're English speakers, right? They identify as Americans, and they identify with American culture and American language and American like norms. So it's like, what are you doing?
They're doing it just for, Trump's doing it for political gain to play to his Nazi racist base.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Why is it probably not going to go anywhere,
as a consequence, though, it's about, I think, 800,000
people. 800,000 people are affected.
75,000 of them probably are LGBT.
And so these individuals, it kind of pushes them into the margins. And for a lot of them, instead of spending the next year working on getting their citizenship, or, working on going to school or going to college, they're working on hiding.
Yeah.
They're working on going back into the fringes of society. And as a consequence, it's a rising. I mean, if you talk about being against crime, it's putting people into an illegal economy, into an invisible economy.
Yep.
And it's a terrible thing to do and it's screwing people, 800,000 people's lives forever for no reason.
Yeah, for no reason. Who have done nothing.
They're not guilty of any crime. And some of these, and the majority of these people are some of the hardest working, most educated, most intelligent people they are, because they want to be here,
right?
And they're working hard to be the best citizens they can be.
And a lot of this kind of stuff too, it's a form of slavery in some ways, because they can't partake in civil liberties, and they're paying taxes into it, and they're not going to be able to collect that Social Security.
Right?
Eventually.
Even if their income was on the table, they're still paying sales taxes on things, right? They're still they're still benefiting for the economy. So it's like. So backwards ass.
So
Cher is coming out. She's tweeting. She goes, "Those who can must take a dreamer into their home and protect them. I'm ready to do this, and others in my business will do the same. Sanctuary." And then a person named Brendan Webb replied, "Sure you will, Cher. I'll believe it when I see it." And she replied, "Then keep your eyes open, bitch."
Yes. I love when Cher gets sassy.
And one of our listeners and former guests of the show, Vice Squiggly Bone, says, "I'm moving in with Cher. Share, everybody."
I was gonna say I nominate Vice for to live in with Cher. She's a DACA girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like,
so Vice, you better start changing your name, drag name again.
I mean, yeah, people in my the people in my dissertation, many of them are and the people I work with every day. So it's just very frustrating.
It's scary.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out, because a lot of this is just a political kind of game to him, and so we'll see. And eventually, there's going to be what are you going to do with 800,000 people?
Right.
They don't deport all these people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, even if they're going to put a Joe Arpaio style concentration camp, concentration camps cost money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they're not going to do anything. They're just going to basically push these people's into the fringes.
That's all that happens.
And it's basically a little Damocles.
Yeah. To force them to work in situations where they're not protected by law. Right. So they're going to be working in sweatshops. They're going to be working for people that don't want to give them any rights.
Right.
But did you see those low prices on those khaki slacks at Kohl's? Oh, my God.
So how's this for making you feel old? The end of Harry Potter in the book where he's older. Mm-hmm. I think he's like supposed to be like 36 years old or something like that. And he sends his kids off. His kid off to school along with like Ron Weasley's kids and Malfoy's kid off to school on the Hogwarts Express.
Yep.
That already just happened.
Yeah,
September 1st, 2017 was 19 years after the last book.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? From when the book's supposed to take place.
Right, when it takes place, yeah.
So I didn't realize that Harry Potter actually took place in Earth time.
Yep.
So do they have smartphones in the Harry Potter verse?
No, it was mostly the '90s, right?
They can't. It's explained why. So when you the electromagnetic fields of your phones and electricity
are magic.
Interact with magic very poorly. Oh. So that's why Hogwarts, for example, still is all fire lit. There's no electricity.
Owls.
If you read the book, they try explaining it, why they don't have telephones and why they don't have electricity, because they've tried installing it and it freaks out. The electromagnetic fields of electricity and of smartphones freak out with the electromagnetic fields of magic.
So there's science behind the magic.
I think I'm convinced that the magic in Harry Potter is just some people being born with being able to manipulate electromagnetic fields physically rather than using a device. And that's what I think magic is, quote unquote. And the strongest evidence for this is the fact I'm a big nerd.
The midichlorians are high. No, Star Wars, please.
the strongest evidence for this is the fact that electronic things do not work well in heavily concentrated magic areas like Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. A wizard's home can have electricity. So Hermione's home, for example, has electricity. It's fine
because she's a witch and her. Yeah,
because it's just her and her.
So hold on a second. They could have just killed Voldemort by electrocuting him.
But it would not have functioned on Hogwarts campus. This is the problem. There's too much concentration of magic.
Well, just trick him into showing up in a tub and dropping a blow dryer in there.
With what plug?
Well, you plug it into the wall, into the Muggle world.
He doesn't go into Muggle world. That's why the train was like a steam engine train, right?
It has to be steam. He doesn't go into Muggle world. He's anti-Muggle. He thinks they're lesser. So he only stays in the magic world that has adapted to not use electricity.
I see. So he's kind of like a Luddite. He's an Amish.
Sure, but with like a Nazi Amish, maybe, where it's like someone who like just gets rid of. It's not that he chooses to get rid of technology. It's like he has no choice. Mm. Right?
Because you're a big Harry Potter fan.
Yes, I'm a huge Harry Potter fan.
And you're doing the Christmas.
Yes, we're doing. So the Geek House, my big geek cosplay collective nerd show. We do a monthly show at Berlin Nightclub in Chicago. And the December theme is the Yule Ball. So I'm very excited to do a Harry Potter Christmas style party. Yeah,
because there's some kids out there who love Harry Potter so much. They sleep with their windows open, even in the winter, because they don't want the owl to not miss it, you know, showing up to recruit them.
We're too old to get our Hogwarts letter.
What's the name of the owl? The owl has a name.
Well, it's Harry Potter's
Hedwig. That's right, I remember because Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
And J.K. Rowling's because I guess people tweet her a lot, be like, when's my owl coming? She's like, everybody already got their owl. We all went to Hogwarts together.
You're not part of my party.
We would have gone to Ilvermorny, the American.
What is it?
Ilvermorny is the American version of Hogwarts.
Where was that located?
I'm not entirely sure, but I want to say somewhere in like the East Coast, maybe Appalachia.
You know. Salem.
Because it definitely has to be on the eastern half.
Was that actually ever mentioned in Harry Potter?
Yeah, they talk about Salem a little bit, but Ilvermorny must be...
Because I've read all the books, but I don't remember.
Ilvermorny must be in the east part of the U.S. because when you read the earlier books that take place in the early 1900s, late 1800s, Ilvermorny's already been around, and the U.S. has already been around. So it can't be in, like, the west half of the country.
So there's a new study that came out. This is really kind of depressing thing because I'm a night owl myself, and you guys are too, because you're children of the night, shapeshifters. Kids do better in school if they start school no later than 8:30 a.m. Most schools, I guess, start I remember going to school in Puerto Rico. We start at 7:30 in the morning. I was always late. So a new study says not only will it lead to improved educational achievement, fewer traffic accidents, but also it would save the United States $9 billion every year.
If they did what?
If they only started school at 8:30 a.m.
Ooh.
Well, so the reason that it doesn't happen is because parents are like, I don't want to deal with this shit because I'm going to work. I want to drop off my kids and goddamn it, go to. So all they have to do, if they can figure out a busing system for kids so they can get out of their own homes on their own and get to school at 8:30 in the morning, it would save $9 billion.
Yeah. What would we do with that $9 billion?
You could get people health care. You could give children health care. You could give every fucking person in DACA health care, you know?
Yeah.
Shit.
I mean, I think it should be started later also because of, like, this has come up, right? Circadian mm-hmm. cycles of younger people are very yeah. different from older mm-hmm. people. And so they stay up later. They get up later. This is normal. And
I was why hurt their achievement?
Yeah.
The first thing I would always do is take a nap because, you know, I'd stay up till midnight and then you have to get up at 6:30 and my growing body, you know, it needed that rest.
Well, the only time you can get, you know, some quality private time, if you know what I'm talking about, chaka-chaka, you know, stroking time, is after your parents went to bed.
I did not call that chaka-chaka back.
That's what Mark calls it, chaka-chaka.
Oh, yeah. I have big cheeks.
Is it, you know, when you're a teenager, it was after everybody went to bed, right?
That's right.
And that's you go to the bathroom or you go to the different room in the house. They don't know.
And, you know, basically, I don't want to rat out teenage boys and teenage girls out there and teenagers of all gender identities in this country. But mom, dad, if your teenage child is spending a lot of time and taking a long shower, it's because they're masturbating.
They know. Everybody knows. Leave them the fuck alone.
Leave them alone. Oh, my God. I was a teenager. I was always like, do. Hey, get out of the shower. What are you doing in there? And I'm just like, oh, God.
Washing my hair.
I'm washing my nuts with lube.
Oh, my. Jesse, did you fart?
He often does.
Oh, that's all right.
Little doggy.
So
right
we're
next
actually posting the good version.
Of
Cooking with Drag Queens, the Kickstarter season 3 with you, Foxy Kim.
I'm excited.
You look so sexy in the video.
Well, you told me to do like little unicorn fairy princess realness. So I put like lots of pink and shimmer.
I think you had a little bit of a like you know Chola teenage girl.
I always go for like a little Jersey Shore Italian like woman out. Like that's you know what if my cousins lived out there. What would they wear?
So I also appreciate you tucking for the video.
Oh yeah, I give you a very good tuck, and I don't use duct tape. I use underwear panties? To do it. Yeah, I use panties to do it.
Just smush it.
Yeah, and it's
do you
pretty effective.
Bring your dick up or down?
It goes between in the back. Yeah.
So you bring your dick down?
Yeah. So I like put the balls up, and then I put it's fine. It just I have a huge ass, so my butt cheeks kind of just cushion it well.
Oh my God. Trinity Tuck Taylor, meet your new match.
No, her tuck is very different because she shows a lot of body. I don't.
Yeah.
So
she's super skinny too. Right.
Yeah. I can't get away with that.
So. Foxy Kim, watch her. And you know, I'm gonna post the Star Booty version on our YouTube on our Facebook page, so people don't get offended or anything. We just do this for shits and giggles.
Yep.
And so facebook.com/feastoffun or Cooking with Drag Queens and just go to cookingwithdragqueens.com and check it out. And and if you're listening right now for a cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah.
A nice
coffee that I got at Starbucks today was $3. One cup of coffee. Mm. And if everybody could everybody who's ever watched one of our videos.
Just $1.
Pledge,
it's
we'd
done.
Be set. We'd be done.
We'd have enough money in perpetuity to do Cooking with Drag Queens with every drag queen in the world. Even RuPaul. RuPaul, we could buy My Dinner with RuPaul Andre.
Ooh, Charles.
Charles.
What is the movie My Dinner with Andre about, even?
It's about the fall of civilization. It's very stunning on how you see how it predicted the future of like fake news and the rise of assholeism.
And season 10 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay, then, on that note.
Not the fall of civilization, but maybe it's our last hope. Save us, RuPaul. Mm-hmm. You're our only hope.
Yeah, save us, RuPaul.
CookingWithDragQueens.com. Foxy Kim, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being a part of our crazy projects.
Yeah, it's fun to see it come to fruition.
It'll happen only if any people donate.
Please donate, yes.
Yes. So please share this with your friends. If you can't, you know, if you're a teenager and you're like, I don't have access to my mother's credit cards. She already locked me out, you know. Just share the video with your friends on social media.
Just take $3 out of her purse, put it in an envelope, and mail it to us at, you know, Feast of Fun, 5315 North Clark Street, number 242, Chicago, Illinois, 60640. Just put it in like a little piece of paper so anybody holds up, they're not going to see the cash in there. Yeah.
You can put it like books are a great way to do that. Like one of those, you know, books that nobody reads, like, you know, a Bible.
Yeah, Harry Potter. No, I'm kidding.
People are still reading
it. It was a joke.
Those Mormon Bibles that they put in hotel rooms, the Gideons.
I write fun notes in them.
Yeah, and you just be like, suck my dick or whatever. Yeah. Stick $3 in there. mail it to us. We'll obviously know it's like a Bible, you know, and we'll pull out the money. We'll donate it to cookingwithdragqueens.com and make it a reality. Cause I got some really exciting things. If we get $2,000 over, just only $2,000 over 20,000. So we do 22. We're going to do a Cooking with Drag Queens competition with reality TV star cooking TV show judges that we know
personally,
who are actually famous. You guys actually know who these people are going to be judging harshly the queens. And they are ruthless.
Again, that's at cookingwithdragqueens.com. Pledge today if you can. If you're going to support this project, I implore you to do it today so that we get the Kickstarter algorithms really juiced up and going.
Juicy, honey. Juice, with like flavor. Fry harder, baby.
Fry harder. T-bone. All T-bone, no shade.
All T-bone, no shade.
I got it right eventually.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.